Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing. I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Card, Brooklyn to the world.
Yeah.
What episode is this? Number 5, 6? What are we up?
I think it's 7, actually.
We're racking them up.
That's us.
And thanks to you great listeners, we keep going. You guys love us. We love you. Keep giving us the support. We'll keep making you laugh and entertained as much as we can. Well, I think at Peter Card's here is probably taking care of all the jokes, right?
I'm trying my best.
I think you got people. You know what the best part about you is? You're funny. You don't even realize you're funny.
You
really are a funny guy.
That's it, Andrew. I have a tip cup here. I'll be here all week.
You might fall on the questioning, Andrew. Yeah. I don't know about you.
Hey. Frankie, was he shaking?
So we're a little bit somber today over at the podcast. You know.
You want to start off with the horrible news and.
Yeah, well, guys,
we
at least this way,
negative,
you know what? Anytime somebody has bad, I got good news and bad news. Which one do you want first? I always start with the bad news because then at least the last thing I hear is the good news, and I can leave it off. That my brain just heard fresh good news. You know, I don't want to hear the bad news for last. You know, so I'm gonna start with the bad news, and then hopefully we pick up the pace during this show. Hopefully, we become bring more positivity to it because today. As a lot of you might know, I'm going to officially announce it here on the podcast, but, you know, we already had the press release and we put it out there, and obviously a lot of you saw the picture that I had to pull out of my May 29th fight. I got a cut in the gym, an accidental, forearm, elbow.
Forearm.
I mean, Pete, you were there. It was a forearm that scraped up his arm. I don't know. It was kind of a wild shot, but...
You was bobbing when you should have been weaving.
Yeah. And it was crazy. I saw the glove fly by my face, so I'd slipped the punch. The problem is I didn't slip the follow-up forearm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me. You know, and so...
It was a nasty one, too.
It was a nasty one. I got stitches in my eye right now. You know the crazy thing about the stitches? I went to get stitches after the gym session, after the sparring session. We got stitches, and they did partial stitches, partial glue, because I'm allergic to Vicryl. Now, all of you that don't know what Vicryl is, I wouldn't know either unless somebody told me, unless I had already used
it
in the past.
Hard way.
Vicryl is our dissolvable stitches, so I'm allergic to dissolvable stitches, and I found out the hard way when earlier in my career they used them, and then they didn't dissolve, and
your
they called
tendons.
Bubbling in my hand when they had to stitch my hand back up for one of my surgeries to my hands. Anyway, so without Vicryl, what we have... is we use partially regular stitches and mostly glue. You know, that way we don't have to, you know, stitch my whole eye up totally. So it seemed like it worked pretty well. The problem is today when I was getting the stitches I had in there removed, the part of the eye of the cut that
the deep part, the gash
that had been glued, it wasn't sealed so good. And so it kind of reopened a little bit. So what we did is we had to add 3 more stitches. So I've got 3 fresh stitches in my eye this morning. Instead of removing everything, I had to add 3 fresh ones after removing the old ones.
I'm sure that was fun.
All my fans up in Boston, all my friends up in Boston, this weekend I'll be working the James DeGale versus Andre Durrell fight for both BBC Radio and Sky Sports. So you guys will be
in the
seeing
bean.
Me up there cool. in Beantown with stitches in my eye. So if you guys are wondering how I still got stitches in my eye a week and a half after I got cut, it's because these are fresh stitches. And then you'll see me with some fresh, a few more fresh stitches.
The best
I got put
is
in today.
When we're in the gym and everybody tries to be positive, you know, because we had a fight coming up and it was like, oh, that's not so bad. That's not so bad.
You know?
And there's blood leaking across your face.
You know, that's the best part.
No. We're just going to, let's put a towel on it. It's fine. That's fine. A little Neosporin, that's fine. Then he said, Neosporin in his eye.
They're putting their fingers in my eye. Coach Eric was putting his finger inside my eye. He was fingering my eye. My gash.
No.
Just put the eyeball back in.
Yeah,
no big deal.
This is not a big deal. I said, I think.
That's the thing. You know, when you get cut, for all the folks at home that haven't been cut, I'm sure a lot of you haven't, everybody else sees the gash. Except the person that has the gash on their face, they don't see the gash. So
all you feel
as the person who's cut is just blood dripping down the side of your face, or it could be sweat in the moment. You know, when I first felt the drip down the side of my face, I was right after the shot landed, and I stepped back, I remember feeling the drip, and I remember thinking, please let that be sweat. Whoa. Yeah. And you know from your sparring partner, if any of you have ever been cut in the gym, you know, your sparring partner will have like a look on his face when you
when
you're cut.
What is he, Dominican?
So, yeah, so
he
I...
said, oh, chip, man. I'm sorry, man.
So I step back, and I feel this dripping down my face, and all I had to do was look at my sparring partner's face. The reaction on his face, he was like, oh, man, this is bad.
Oh,
and so we stopped. My coach Eric Brown called me to the corner. We tried to fix it as good as we could. That's when everybody was being positive, as Pete was saying, and trying to say it wasn't that bad.
We got some duct tape.
And it was bad, I guess. And
that kid ended up fighting on our boy Gary Stark's card.
How'd he do?
He won. He flipped the A side. He flipped the B side.
He was the B side.
He was the B side, and he won.
Maybe that sparring with me helped him, man. At least something positive came out of that. No,
sure.
So that's good. Good for him, man. I still don't know his name. Do you have his name?
Villa.
Villa. Mm-hmm. That's his last name?
His first name.
That's his name. First name is Villa.
Villa something else.
All right. But you know, you hate to not even give the guy some recognition.
Billy what? Bello? Yeah.
Yeah, so that was good. Good for him, man.
He's a nice kid.
Yeah, good kid. It was total accident. You know, it's obvious. Honestly, it's never happened to me badly.
It's not a big deal.
Cuts in the gym happen. It's never happened to me that
bad. It's cost you like $500,000. It's not a big deal. I mean, who cares? Yeah. No, don't worry about it, buddy. It's all right. I won't be able to pay my mortgage for the next 6 months. That's fine. That's fine.
Come on, Pete. Your mortgage will be fine anyway. Come on.
Start a Kickstarter for Pete.
Yeah, it's fine.
Put it in. Pete takes all PayPal accounts, all PayPal donations.
Anybody who feels bad, just send them over. Thanks a lot, Villa.
We'll tweet that later.
Yeah, I'll be in construction for the rest of my life, thanks to you, buddy. Keep elbowing us whenever you get a chance.
I guess Pete puts a positive spin on everything. See, you think it's bad, you get cut
between the elbow, and then your friends over there.
They said it was a forearm.
I mean, the forearm, whatever. It's all connected.
Yeah.
Elbow.
No, you're right. I honestly think it scraped up the forearm to the
elbow. It started with the glove because that's the little piece of skin that was hanging off your face.
Oh, no, it was the side of his glove, though. That was the taped part of his glove,
Everybody was like, no, it's fine. I'm like, the kid has a piece of his skin just hanging off his face. Yeah.
I think that was part of the side of his glove.
I've seen you get cut many times, and this one was not pretty.
Yeah, that was from the tape on the side of the glove.
But between that, you know, my 15 seconds of fame is gone for this fight, you know, which I look forward to because I get on camera and everybody sees my fat face.
I tell you, though, but on PBC, the corner is not everybody's in the ring, though.
I don't care. You know I get my face in there. But I'm like Sam Watson and the Twins. I always find a way, you know? me and Anthony Catt have a way. You always find us. I think because nowadays people look for us, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, especially
you're like,
my big
you're like
head.
a known entity now.
When you fight, sure.
Well, you know what? This would have been your first fight since we started this podcast, so it would have been like an extra amount of fame.
Instead of, wow, there's the towel boy, now it's, wow, look, Petey Podcast is on Spike.
Peter Cards.
Peter Cards. Boom.
We should make like Canelo and Chavez headbands. Petey Podcast.
Boom.
Peter Cards or Petey Podcast?
Well, it's both.
It's both, yeah.
I got a lot of nicknames.
You know, a lot of people tweeting me and using your name, Peter Cards, but they don't put the at symbol. Guys, if you want to mention Peter Cards in a tweet, you got to put at before Peter Cards. We didn't just call him Peter Cards because that's what we want to call him. That's his Twitter name, too.
That's a fact.
At Peter Cards. So if you guys want to talk about at Peter Cards and you tweet me about Peter Cards, put at Peter Cards so you can include him in the conversation, because half the time I don't have time to answer a lot of yous anyway. Petey has a lot more time than me. He's working his construction job, but he's always got his phone handy, ready for us.
Especially when I'm sending in my hypothetical bets that go down the drain.
Hypothetically, if you were to send them, they wouldn't be good, but thankfully, they were good. We're going to get into a couple of your hypothetical
bets.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Between you getting elbowed WWE style, and then we got to go to the doctor, and then that earlier that day wasn't so great because you're...
my what?
Your Juventus...
That's what I mean. We're going to get into that. Don't worry. We're going to get into that. What do you think? We forgot about that?
Yeah.
Hypothetically,
I would owe somebody a lot of money right
now. What was crazy about that day is everything about that day was good. The Juventus eliminated Real Madrid in the Champions League. The Rangers won Game 7 over the Capitals. The only negative thing we had was me getting cut.
Thanks, Villa. We caught the end of the third period, buddy.
Because we were busy getting
in the doctor's
up.
Office.
At least we heard it on the radio, no?
And USADA was at the house. That was
that was the best. Guy. I come home from getting stitched up, and the random drug test guy's waiting for me at the house.
We're in the doctor's
office.
That's
the last guy I wanted to see at that point. I just wanted to watch the Rangers game. I wanted to be left alone.
We're in the doctor's office.
I swear,
office.
I was 2 seconds away from kicking him in his ass and kicking him out of my house, man. I was like, dude, you're the last guy I want to see right now. I just want to watch the Rangers game. I just got stitched up. I don't want, but you know what? Being a good sport, we took the test anyway.
Right. Let them test it and do whatever they want with it. Shove it up their ass. My girl's calling me. I'm waiting in the waiting room. The doctor, awesome doctor, Dr. Carreri. He's a good friend of ours. He's always like on call for us.
And as those of you who watch Donnie Brasco know, Dr. Carreri is a friend of ours.
He's a friend of ours.
He's a friend of ours. And you guys who watch Donnie Brasco would know the difference with a friend of ours.
Right. So luckily, what did he have to eat that day, Kat?
He didn't zuppa di pesce.
Zuppa di pesce he was having at his lovely house, and he was able to, as Kat says, extend the courtesy and go to his office, and we met him there. While I'm waiting, Alyssa, my fiance, calls me real nervous, as if like terrorists were like bombing the house, and I'm like, "What's up, babe?" She's like, "There's a guy here for Paulie." Okay, there's a guy there for Paulie. Well, who's the guy? What do you mean there's a guy there? Is he a guy with a gun?
What kind of guy?
I don't know. Can you talk to him? Okay. And this guy's like, anti-doping? That's all he kept saying. I'm like, okay, USADA? Yes, anti-doping. I'm like, all right, buddy, we're in Manhattan, so you're going to have to wait. How long?
Oh, boy.
I don't know, an hour?
They're like, schedule time or no?
No, it's random.
Hence, random drug test. Okay. Surprise.
That's the whole point. Which we don't care. You know, we got nothing to hide. So I'm like, all right, buddy, we'll be there in an hour.
Except that he showed up when I'm getting stitched in Manhattan. Yeah, I would have usually been home.
And then the best is, we're there. We get there, and he's there, creepy. He looks like the brother from Everybody Loves Raymond. You know, a skinnier version. So, and I'm cracking jokes. He doesn't know that I'm making fun of him.
Yeah, Pete's asking me, do you think this guy, like, does this as a volunteer? Like, he thinks it makes him feel good because if he's got all these residuals from Everybody Loves Raymond. And, you know, yet he still volunteers his time for these anti-doping tests. You think he does it to make himself feel better? And so, we're having this conversation right in front of him. And I'm like, probably. I mean, he's got to be living good off those Everybody Loves Raymond residuals.
And I'm
offering
the
guy
beers, and he's like, no, thank you. No. And we're watching the Rangers, and we're yelling at the TV, cursing all kinds of wrong things at every capital.
Again, though, most of you haven't been drug tested. It takes about an hour. You know what I mean? You got to fill out a bunch of paperwork, then get your blood test. Then you got to fill out a bunch of paperwork and then take a urine test. So
Alyssa, my fiance, told me.
We had the guy watching the Rangers game with us.
Yeah, before we got back from the city, he got there like 5-10 minutes before us. She sat him down. She offered him water. He went into the bathroom downstairs. And he, like, scoped it out.
Yeah?
Like, he, like, searched. Make sure.
He's allowed to do that?
Yeah, because basically he's trying to look for, you know, what if...
Drugs.
Yeah, no.
What if I had, like, a backup cup of urine?
Yeah. You know? Like, what if he uses my urine, which if he used mine... You're not fighting. But, you know, like, something like that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, she was like, why did he search the bathroom? I'm like... He's with the anti-doping agency, genius. Like, he's going to, you know, he's got to do it.
He's going to snoop around.
Yeah, he's snooping. So, the guy, the best is, I'm like, buddy, have a beer. You know, he's filling out.
Next, you got too many guys that always come, and you can, like, put little cups of apple juice out.
Pick whichever one you want. Pick whichever one you want. We were ready for you. So, then finally, he takes the blood, and he's sitting there, and he's, like, labeling them, and you package them, and there has to be a witness, so I'm the witness. I sign. The Rangers score. I start hugging the guy.
Oh, man. He was part of our celebration. The Rangers scored in overtime. The overtime winner was Stepa and scored. We were jumping up and down in the house. Pete was hugging the creepy guy.
Did he hug you back?
Yeah.
He was like, oh.
He was like, what did he say? Tifosi in Italian, he said. Yeah. Tifosi, because he speaks Spanish. He goes, oh, tifosi.
Had that on video, man.
Yeah, it was classic.
I make everybody feel
it was very awkward. It was very awkward, but you know, we were too busy celebrating the
Rangers. I wanted to take my pants off and hug them. That was really awkward. And then the guy shows up the next day, like 10 in the morning.
Again, yeah. He showed up 2 times in 2 days, the guy.
Stitches, you're not fighting?
He saw the stitches. He
came back anyway?
Yeah, because that's like that thing. Because you know what it is? They fly from all over the place. So,
oh, in case you like juiced up after that test?
Yeah, in case sometimes, you know, people might think like, he just tested me.
Oh, he just left. Let me poke this needle in my ass, you know what I mean?
You know, they take precautions. It's random. No, it's surprise
good.
Testing.
And I like that they do.
But
it,
we,
you know?
But,
me as a,
me but, as but the I, next day, I'm the up. Guy shows up the next day. No, again, the last guy I want to see in the morning. Like, I didn't want to sleep in. I stayed up late all night because now I wasn't training the next day. You know, Pete stayed up late and
5 in the morning. I drank like a half a jug of sangria. So I'm getting
is that different from any other night or no?
Yeah, I don't usually drink that much. I knew I wasn't going to work. I was like, the hell with this, man. I'm letting my hair down. The fight is off. I'm like.
So the guy shows up. I can't wake up. He's ringing on my bell. He's ringing on Pete's bell. I'm upstairs from him. When I stay in camp, a lot of times I stay in the upstairs apartment in Brooklyn, just on closer to the gym. So I ended up staying in Brooklyn that night. he's ringing my bell. He's ringing Pete's bell. Nobody's answering. They had to call Anthony up, my manager. It's the backup phone number, and Anthony had to come to the house from his house and get us get everybody up. So wow, Pete man. Wakes up, opens the door.
I see like four of this guy.
Pete's in his underwear with his fat gut.
Yeah, my fat stomach is out. I'm in my boxes. I'm like, you again, bro? So he's like, anti-doping. I'm like, I look, and Paulie's coming down the stairs. I'm like, couldn't you have done this like 5 minutes earlier? I really had to get up for this. And I looked at both of them like I wanted to smash their heads together, and I went back to
sleep. The guy asks Anthony, es el mismo de ayer? Meaning it's the same guy from last night? Because he didn't reckon. He wanted to make sure that was the same guy that was hugging him during a Ranger game. That's how bomb he looked. You know the best part about the whole thing. Later in the day, you asked me if you got up when he showed up.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
You don't even remember getting up.
I was in a deep sleep, bro.
Deep sleep. You were still whacked, is your problem.
Probably. That's only 5 hours in. You got to sleep that off, man. Yeah. Those are the ones you really got to sleep off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we make fun of it, you know. But we'll take a break and we'll come back.
Yeah, we'll change the subject to more upbeat conversation. Yes. We'll take a break.
You're listening to former two-time world champion Paulie Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Introducing Paulie.
Paulie Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
Malignaggi.
This is Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
All right, we're back.
Oh, he's up.
Yeah, I'm up. I'm up. I'm excited.
What are you doing? Bats? What are you doing? No.
He's standing up. This is for you people.
I'm excited. I played DraftKings last night.
Did you?
Seth, did you play at all recently?
No, I've been busy.
No, I played last night.
I'm going to play. You know, Pete always makes a time to.
Oh, absolutely. Because we're watching. I'm obviously tuned into the playoffs. But I said, you know what? I want to like set up a nice little baseball team. So last night, I just did a little $5 one, you know. I won $9. Okay. $9. I had to go with Harvey, right? Harvey pitched eight innings. Yeah.
Shutout innings, right?
Close game.
Eight shutout innings. He had six or eight strikeouts.
You kind of get screwed though if they don't get the win, right? That hurts in or not?
It does, but he gave me a lot of points,
right?
And that's the whole stats. That's the whole thing. Chase Utley shit the bed, but I mean,
when was
I,
last time he had a good year,
a few years a while, ago. Right? Yeah.
Washed up. No more juice, maybe. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Am I allowed to say that?
I don't put Chase Utley as a juice guy.
Oh, just Manny, not Chase.
I don't think. No, I don't.
Maybe
think
back
Chase.
In the day. I don't know.
You think so?
When everybody was doing it, I'm sure he was on there.
He's only in the league like 10 years, though.
Who?
Chase Utley from the Philly?
You never.
I don't know.
I don't think he's a juice guy.
Nobody would surprise me.
But I mean, my team was pretty stacked. I had a few guys that really didn't do much. I had Cabrera, obviously.
Mickey?
No,
Miguel.
Tigers. Yeah. He didn't put up what you expect. But
his head's the size of a watermelon. You're telling me he didn't juice either?
He's fat, bro.
Cabrera?
Yeah. He's fat.
Yeah, but I don't know.
The guy's like always like right there for the Triple Crown, like every.
He won it,
you know?
A couple years ago. First time in, what, 30, 40 years or something?
But yeah, it was fun, man. I'd love, I don't know.
Who, with the Triple Crown? More. Like 60,
right? Carl Yastrzemski.
Oh, you're
30, right?
30,
67.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Like
yeah, I
40
thought it was
years.
Ted Williams. Yeah, it's Carl Yastrzemski. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
I wish DraftKings would do the boxing. They have the MMA.
Right.
Because like I
talked about that.
Yeah, I like doing the baseball yesterday, but I would love to do some boxing.
It'd be good. You know.
Then I'd really
expand their horizons, so to speak. You know. Anyway, so while we're on DraftKings, let's talk about it a little bit. You know, everybody can hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code PaulieM PaulieM to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code PaulieM PaulieM for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com.
Yeah, if you know your baseball, I mean, you can make some money on there for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And hopefully they'll add the combat sports later on. But if you're a big baseball fan, obviously the baseball season lasts a long time. You got plenty of time to win plenty of prizes. And they have a lot of money to be given away.
So your promo code gets them money.
Yeah.
Right?
20% off.
It nice bonus.
You, and
bonus.
And guys, if you put promo code Peter Cards, you inherit all my debt.
So whatever you do, don't put Peter Cards. Put Poliem as your promo code. PAULIEM. Got me, guys.
My
don't
Peter
mess Cards it up, because if you do not want to inherit Pete's account, trust me.
You're drug testing if you put his name.
No, you go in and you just
you get the creepy Everybody Loves Raymond guy showing up at your house.
No, you just put at Peter Cards and the bookie shows up and then immediately comes with a pipe.
You pay today.
So
the vig is 300 a week.
Onto some other news. We had some fights this weekend. Speaking of vigs, we had some fights this weekend.
Well, yeah. Well,
Golovkin
let's
and Monroe.
Wait, hold on.
Right?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's say hypothetically, Seth. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes.
Let's say hypothetically, Paulie were to, you know, like,
hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically speaking, if Paulie liked a certain wager, this Saturday, what would you have liked?
You know, this Saturday, I was actually thinking I would have liked Monroe to go over 5.5 rounds because I thought he was slick enough to, you know, give Golovkin some rounds. You know, he actually reminded me of myself when I fought Miguel Cotto in that situation where he was a slick boxer,
he
but
his
he hadn't.
Heart in Philly, yeah?
Yeah, he was a slick boxer that was trying to make his name, and he had a little bit of recognition, but he was fighting
it's
the monster.
True.
So I put over 5.5. I didn't think he'd win, but I think he'd fight his heart out because if you got your chance to fight in the big fight like that,
that
and you prove yourself. Even if you don't win, you know, you'll be back on that stage and you know, you can certainly help your career. And I thought, in the very least, he would show that hunger. And you know what? In spots, he did. But ultimately, he outright quit, and he didn't go over. So if I did bet him for the go over,
bet,
I would have hypothetically lost.
By 40 seconds.
Oh.
By 40 seconds, yeah.
How pissed would you have been, man? I would have.
How pissed would you be if you did bet the over, of
right,
course, yeah. Or if you could be Floyd Mayweather and you hit the under, like they said he bet the under in Vegas. So you hit it by 40 seconds, you know?
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He sure did, pal.
So he ain't gonna fight Triple G himself, though. I don't think, right?
No,
that's too much of a weight class jump. Come on.
Listen, Triple G's own weight class is scared of him.
Yes.
So for people to want to see Floyd go up to that weight class and fight him is asinine. It's ignorant. You know what I mean?
Sugar Ray Leonard came out of nowhere and fought Hagler, man.
Yeah, but Sugar Ray Leonard turned pro at 140. Floyd Mayweather turned pro at 130.
Good point.
It's a big difference.
Good point.
And people are going to say, oh, he went up to super middleweight. He went up to super middleweight and picked his opponent. He picked Donnie Lalonde. And I love Sugar Ray Leonard. Don't get me wrong.
That's about
light heavyweight.
Though. It's not light heavyweight.
But no, they fought at 68.
Right.
And you know what? It's not even about.
And it wasn't Michael Moore
or Virgil Hill. Michael Spinks, right.
Yeah.
Of course. It wasn't any of those. But either way, it doesn't diminish you as a fighter. Sugar Ray Leonard is an awesome fighter. Floyd Mayweather is an awesome fighter.
One of my favorites.
So again, human nature is human nature. You can't test nature to that degree without risking getting hurt. So I don't knock Ray Leonard for not fighting Spinks and Michael Moore and all those guys at light heavyweight. I don't knock him for fighting Lalonde instead, and I don't knock Mayweather for not fighting Golovkin, because guys, we're not dealing with comic books here. If you want to read comic books and read about superheroes, go to your local store, go order a Marvel Comics or a DC Comics and read about those guys, because in real life they don't exist. All right,
or
they don't exist.
Or watch Rocky.
Yeah, or watch Rocky. Hey. That too. Course.
My favorite movie.
Yeah. Or
it's everybody's favorite movie.
Or just watch Pacquiao early in his career.
Mid-career.
Yeah, mid-career.
We got a new Pacquiao now, though, right?
We got drug-tested Pacquiao. You know, I'm still getting tweets about, hey, his surgery's real. All right, guys. You want to go believe his surgery's real, it's fine.
Who cares?
No, I care. I do care. I hate bullshit artists. You know, the guy's surgery wasn't real. Okay, he got some kind of muscle strain taken care of. He didn't have a tear. And I'll put my balls on the line and prove it.
I believe you.
You know, nobody will go out of their way to prove me wrong. Trust me.
There is no
MRI that will be made public.
Anybody
that kind of
that's willing
tear.
To put their sack on the line, you got to give it. He really feels it.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so. That's the wager stuff for the weekend. So Golovkin ends up winning. And you know what? Can't take away from Golovkin. And we're talking about the wagering on the weekend, but you know, we can't take away from Golovkin. He continues to look like a monster.
He's a beast. Yeah.
Continues to look good.
I want to say something.
He doesn't move his head though, bro. You know,
he does not
at times Monroe hit him. The fact that he got him in Monroe's head by kind of make it like he wasn't hurt shouldn't have taken Monroe's focus off course. You know, because he's able to land shots, and that's what counts in winning rounds. But
we crack jokes on people when they lose and stuff, and you know it sucks. But what was with the I want to get up at 10 so that when the ref stops it, I can make an excuse. And then that didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah. Usually the ref stops it anyway. Jack Reese.
You can't pull the wool over a guy from Staten Island. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Jack Reese. Shout out to referee Jack Reese. One of the best in the business. Originally from Staten Island. You're not pulling the wool over Jack's eyes. So you get up at 10 and a half. And so you can put the blame on the referee in case he stops it. You would have been like, what? I beat the count. So Jack, what does Jack do? You want to get up, buddy? I'm going to let you fight.
He goes, you just beat it.
Jack must have had the over, too.
Hey, you never know.
So, he just beat it. You know, Willie was probably thinking, shit, did I? I could have sworn. Imagine Willie was like, no, I didn't beat it. I actually didn't beat it.
No, he said, I'm done, man.
Yeah. You beat it, so you can continue if you want. I'm done.
I don't blame him.
No, you know what? In the end, you know.
Listen, I wasn't in there with that.
Everybody's
animal.
Got big balls from outside the ring. Being inside the ring is a totally different situation. But again, you have to still consider. And speaking, I can speak as someone who's been in the ring and been in tough fights. You have to consider your future when you're in there. And you have to consider it goes past this night. And that can mean looking out for your safety and, okay, not going for the gusto like Monroe did on Saturday. Or it can mean, like certain other situations, certain fighters will bite the bullet and, you know, last the course in a tough fight, risk themselves even more, but at the same time be rewarded in their financially in their career and as far as name recognition in their career. And I bring up my fight with Cotto because the night I fought Miguel Cotto, there was easily a lot of ways I could have found an exit out of that ring. And I just kept thinking about, you know, I've come too far to reach tonight and just allow myself to be run over like this. I have to fight my way through this, even if I don't win. I have to fight my way through this because it's my responsibility to always try to find a way to win. And, you know, obviously it didn't work out of the win, but, of course, it was a signature performance at that time in my career. And that's what I felt Monroe really should have been thinking at the moment.
Think about it.
Jack Reese told him, you just beat it. He should have been thinking, you know, this gets me out of the tough life I had in Philadelphia growing up, or whatever life he had growing up. Maybe, you know, I always question when people quit in the ring and they haven't achieved yet anything. You know, when guys have achieved something already, you start to say, oh, maybe lost the hunger. When guys haven't achieved anything yet and they're still hungry and they're still financially looking to make their name and get big recognition and just be somebody in the sport, when the guys are quitting and they haven't yet done that, I start to question just how tough they really had it in their life. Because if you've had it, speaking for myself, if you had it really tough in your life, you don't want to ever go back to that. And nothing, no amount of punishment in the ring will ever be too much for you to deal with. Because taking punishment in the ring pales in comparison to what you've been through before in life. And so that's kind of the approach that I look at it when people talk about how tough of a life they've had growing up and all this stuff. I look at it, okay, maybe if he's made himself some money already, okay, it's one thing. But if the guys that have not made themselves money, and I don't want to be critical of Mooly Monroe because he's actually a talented fighter, but the kid hadn't been anywhere yet in his career. This is a chance for him to make a name for himself. And if, yeah, it's a tough night. It's a tough night's work. And you got to take your lumps in there sometimes. But you're quitting already, so maybe you don't come from that bad of a life that you need to change it at all costs. And that's kind of
the
way.
You're not willing to.
It comes from boxing.
You're not willing to. But again, maybe it's not bad. That's why you're not willing to. Maybe it's not as bad. And I'm not saying Willie Monroe has a sad story or anything. I don't really know his story. I know he comes from a boxing background. But I think of guys even like Victor Ortiz, who's been quitting his whole career. And again, he's a very talented fighter. But again, how bad did he really have it if he was quitting before he ever made any money? Sure. You know what I mean? So a guy again, and that's not to knock anybody because I think Victor's a phenomenal fighter when he gets focused. But you know, he's got mental issues in the ring as well. And so again,
I wouldn't say phenomenal, but
I think he's talent-wise, Victor's phenomenal talent-wise. Then the rest of himself falls apart. But Victor's
a physically talented fighter. A lot of what Victor's success is the fact that he's extremely heavy-handed.
Yes, but he can also fight. I mean, he knows how to fight.
Two things come to mind.
The problem is he doesn't have fight in him sometimes.
Right. Two things come to mind. Is you with Cotto, when you got knocked down, you said, I'm not going back to my grandparents' couch. It's just not happening. Yeah. I'm not going back to where I was.
Yeah.
And our idol, Arturo, Arturo Gatti, is fighting Wilson Rodriguez. He gets dropped. His eye is swollen. He can't see. And he told his best friend, who's a friend of ours, Mickey Redd, he said, man, I just bought a Viper. I didn't pay for that shit yet. I gotta get up.
We all have our emergency. We all have our emergency situations that we're thinking about during times of distress.
He just won a
for
title.
For Arturo, that was it.
He said, "I gotta get up. I didn't pay for this thing."
Arturo won the
Cat
world
was
title.
Was at that fight.
Arturo won the world title
in the theater in the garden
and put himself into debt right away. So he had to get bring himself out of debt in the Wilson Rodriguez defense.
Anthony our manager Anthony was at that fight yeah, in Anthony, the theater in the garden.
Anthony Catanzaro is actually
you
in the crowd.
Him.
You see
yeah.
him in the crowd. If you guys, if you know my manager, Anthony Catanzaro, if you see his face, you'll actually see him in the crowd of the Wilson Rodriguez Arturo Gatti fight. He's a lot younger version of himself, but he's
with
there.
With a beige
leather jacket.
Suit jacket, yeah.
No, leather jacket, right? That was fine.
Can you do a Triple G impersonation? You're good at impersonations. I thought it was after his interview, after the fight, was great. I love listening to him talk.
Anytime he does it, it's like... come on, Max. You see this?
He's very excited. He says, Max, let me tell you something, Max.
Yeah.
This was a good fight, Max.
Come
you
on.
See Max over and over.
Come
I love
on.
It.
Come on. Serious?
He's
serious.
Good boy.
I put on
he's
good show.
He's good boy. This good for fans. Good. This box.
This box, yeah.
They were screaming for
not
him.
Not this is boxing, this box.
This
they
box.
Were screaming for him, man.
This game box.
Big respect to, I love to William Monroe.
He's,
right,
he's
to
good. He's good box.
I love he's box.
Good. I love box. This is this box.
Just box. All right. Well, shout out to Triple G as well. And another great performance. And
he's
sure
an animal.
The
I have a
division.
Lot of respect for him. I love watching him, obviously. I mean, the guy
looks
like
no,
you
Virgil
hit him
Hunter?
With a slap and he knocks you out. But no. I want to see him fight the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And I'm not talking about Floyd.
Andre Ward.
Yeah.
Well, but first, he's got to go through. I think Cotto and Canelo should fight each other, and he should get the winner of that.
He's going to eventually. But I don't
you know.
Know
what's funny? Virgil Hunter, on the way back from the CBS fights on the May 9th show, was telling me that Golovkin is the one that beat Durrell in the Olympics in 2004 in the bronze medal match in the semifinals.
You told me that.
And I saw that fight. I remember the fight Golovkin, I mean, the fight Durrell eliminated
lost,
in the
yeah.
2004 Olympics. I didn't remember his opponent. But
right.
I remember them talking about his opponent, how heavy-handed he was. And I remember, I think Andre hadn't even gotten his eardrum ruptured in that semifinal matchup. And ends up being Golovkin. So funny enough, you know, all these years later. It's funny, I had seen him in the Olympics as well, and that guy lost in the finals. I don't remember his name, but I just remembered Durrell losing in the semis. I remembered hearing that he got his eardrum ruptured, and I remember the guy that beat him ended up losing in the finals. It ends up being Gennady Golovkin. So funny, small world, and things come together all these
so
years later.
So who won that gold medal?
I don't remember, but I remember watching the final as well, and Golovkin, now I know it's Golovkin, lost in the finals, and I remember thinking,
right.
Wow, the guy that just beat Durrell lost.
What weight did Ward win it in?
Ward won it at 178 pounds, light heavyweight. Durrell.
But he was able to come back.
Durrell won it, the bronze medal at 165 pounds, yeah. When I won the U.S. Championships in 2001 at 132 pounds, both of those guys were in the weight class, in the tournament as well. They were younger. Andre Ward won the U.S. Championships at 165 pounds. Andre Durrell won them at 125 pounds.
Yeah.
17 years old. He was a little shrimp. He was shorter than me.
It's crazy.
He hadn't yet grown up, you know.
Now
and,
you're
now
like
he's
up
like
to
six,
his nipple.
Now he's like 6'1".
Yeah.
It's crazy. So everybody goes through growth spurts a little bit differently.
Now you look like
people,
Beetlejuice next
some people
time.
Grow taller during that age. And then some people go through growth spurts at 28 years old. We won't go through that. Won't bring that up. So
he lost to another Russian, another GG guy. Guy there,
Golovkin. Oh, Gatterbekov.
That's the guy.
Gatterbekov. Yeah, I remember him. He had the same first and last name, right? Is it
yeah,
him?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Is it him? Let's read it. Oh, man. Yes, Gatterbekov. Oh, man. Yeah.
Where's that guy now?
Yeah.
A lot of those guys
they
from
stay,
the Russian, like
stay,
the
right?
old Soviet Union, they stay there. They,
yeah.
They
I remember this. You couldn't forget this guy's name because because he had the same last name as first name, except
you
with
kept
the
all. Saying his name.
O-V.
I didn't know who he was
yeah.
or what was going on with him.
Gatterbekov. Yeah.
We just changed like your name to Petey Peterov.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those guys from Eastern European countries that don't turn pro. There was a couple of brothers from Romania, I remember, too, man. They were, like, really good amateurs.
They were black?
No. Romania, bro. Romania.
No, you said a couple of brothers.
No, he's such a retard. A couple of, they were a pair of
brothers
from,
I thought you meant brothers from the hood, like,
yeah.
brothers.
No, Romania.
Oh,
they
like
were literally blood brothers.
Siblings.
Yeah. I forgot their names, but they were really good too. I remember back around that generation as well. They were really good. So a lot of these Eastern Europeans, it's crazy. You know, some of them turn pro, and we get the privilege to see them and they entertain us. And some of them, they just never turn pro.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I wonder about in the communist days when nobody turned pro. How much did we get to miss out on?
Look at how many Cubans.
Imagine how much professional boxing history would be impacted had those countries not been communist and a lot of those guys
how
turned pro. Because
now
that they a lot of turn pro, I mean, professional boxing, the landscape has changed so much. I mean, these former communist countries are they're breeding just full-fledged monsters as professional boxers. It's crazy.
How many fights does Rigondeaux have now?
Rigondeaux. It makes me crazy. Rigondeaux doesn't have that many fights, though.
That's what I'm saying. How many fights does he have?
I don't know. Probably around 20 or so.
Not even, right?
No.
Like 18?
Yeah. I mean, Rigondeaux.
Pro fights, right? He won a title in his 11th fight, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, Rigondeaux.
He's already like 48 years old.
Rigondeaux's a beast. Vasily Lomachenko's a beast. I mean, these guys are fun to watch, man. He's former communist countries. I think Cuba's still communist, although they're going to be a lot of time.
They're
going to be a lot of time pro. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be really interesting.
Your guys' professional opinion on the opening fight.
Which one? Chocolatito.
Yes.
That guy's entertaining, man. You know, there's not always that you get the little guys that can entertain you, man. But Michael Carbajal and Chiquita Gonzalez had a great rivalry in those small weights, and
see,
that kind of opened
you
the
say
door.
That? Why do you say you sound like one of the guys that's like one of the old guys? They're not heavyweights. What do you mean the little guys don't always entertain? What do you mean?
I'm saying I'm giving the uneducated opinion, and then I was going to lead into the fact that this guy proves it, that you know what, you should watch little guys.
Thank you.
What happens when you assume? You assumed I was making a negative point, right? That's
you
the problem.
You said it.
No, I didn't say it. I was setting up my point that I was going to make. You just didn't let me finish what I was saying, dude.
Even Max, who I always disagree with, said it like, great, these guys are not heavyweights, this is action.
What happens when you assume, bro?
I make an ass out of me and you.
No, out of you and me.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. So don't assume.
Either way, we're both an ass.
Yeah, don't assume.
I'm here with a couple of asses.
Don't assume.
If you got a gizzard and I got a gizzard, what do we got?
Two gizzards?
A gizzard each.
Sorry, come on. You see what I got to deal with, folks at home? This guy's serious. So, anyway, Chocolatito. Very entertaining in the mold of Ricardo Finito Lopez and Carbajal and Chiquita Gonzalez. I want to see more of this guy. The problem is we don't have any recognizable opponents at that weight, right? I mean, who do we fight? There's that guy Inui from Japan. I hear he's really looking
good.
What
weight
was
it?
112, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm sure he'll move up, right? Or he's already moved up,
right? Pacquiao moved from 112 to 112 to weight. So
yeah, yeah. Just do some push-ups, maybe, right? What are you doing?
Maybe Chocolatito will be in the ring with me one day.
Drink a lot of whole milk, you know?
Yeah.
Dozen eggs?
Nah, I'm not going
to
carry it away.
Let him go to
Pacquiao was at 112 when he was young, huh?
Let him go to Wild Card for a couple of years. We'll set him up with Golovkin.
So I was going to... We're going to change the subject now. So we're gonna move on to the Champions League. And an amazingly, Serie A has got a... We're going to do this after a break. Is that what we got to do? We got to wait for a break?
Another break. Seth, you know, you're ruining all the fun, man.
Time to pay the bills.
Well, after this, we're going to really have a heated discussion about the Champions League because, man, do we have to get some stuff off our chests.
Oh, boy.
Later.
You're listening to former two-time world champion Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Introducing Paulie
Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
Malignaggi!
This is Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Petey's bigger than last week.
Take another picture, okay.
Jesus Christ. You get shot there?
Oh, bike wound.
Huh.
Yeah.
Motorcycle?
Regular bike.
Just bicycle?
I said you got shot.
I know we grew up in Brooklyn, but...
I'm just saying, I don't know.
Zach thinks Pete got shot. Pete's over here with his gut hanging out. I don't know. Dude, it's not that hot.
Appendix?
Here.
Oh, I'm hot, man.
Or C-section. What was that?
Are we back?
wound.
Actually had surgery on my
wound.
Liver.
Your liver. You got a new liver already?
No. I might need one, but... Are we back?
Kinda. If we
yeah,
want to
go back. Yeah. Go ahead. Explain what
this was.
Pete Jonas is war.
During
wounds.
The break, Pete decided to take his shirt off.
Well,
like
I'm
he was
hot.
Mr. Universe.
I'm hot, and then my.
Should I take a picture for the website?
Yeah, sure. My when I was little, I was riding a bike. I was racing with my cousin. Mm-hmm. the handlebar.
Let's hit, get in there.
The handlebar hit me here. And then what happened, I was so, believe it or not, it's hard to believe, but when I was little, I was really skinny.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Well, wasn't that long ago, actually.
Yeah,
saying,
it wasn't that long ago. But when I was little, I was really skinny. So what happened was my, I guess, I don't know, your bottom rib? What are the women celebrities, like, remove to get, like, even skinnier? Like Janet Jackson, like the bottom rib?
Your heart, maybe.
That rib, when I bent over from the handlebar, sliced my liver in half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How old were you?
10.
Oof.
Yeah, it was a rough one. I was out of school for a while. Couldn't play hockey for a while. It was tough. Couldn't box. I couldn't do anything.
You made a comeback, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Made a comeback. Got my ass kicked by Paulie a few times, and I retired again.
Did you guys fight?
Not fight. Spar.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He smacked your ass.
He used to go easy on me. I hit him with a shot one time. This was like when we first started sparring, right? I couldn't hit him for anything. I finally, he says, oh, I'm getting ready to turn pro, so I want to get used to getting hit without the headgear. So today we're going to work on sparring. He goes, I'm going to go easy on you. Don't worry. I'm not going to kill you, because obviously he could have. He says, just, you know, you be you. I'll go easy on you, but I'm going to not wear headgear. You wear headgear. I'm like, all right. I got lucky. With my eyes closed, I swear to God, I got lucky. I land the straight left hand because I'm lefty. Everything on it, I felt it like all the way up my arm. I thought I killed him, right? So I stop. I'm like, are you all right? And he smiles. He's like, yeah, why'd you stop? I'm like, oh, no, I thought you died. And he was like, no.
Pete used to severely overrate his power.
Yeah.
How much did you weigh back then at that point?
140.
You were sparring 140 with him?
Mm-hmm.
What do you weigh now?
I turned pro at 135. So.
Yeah. What do you weigh
now? Right before I turned
200.
Pro.
200?
I'm being generous. All right, 205. Maybe 210. Maybe 210.
Weighing 225 pounds. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right.
No, I was standing up because I was like airing out my nutsack a little.
Oh, jeez. And the fans blowing in our faces, everybody. So
I fought it in the car, and I think it might have been a wet one.
So you sharted?
I might have.
What, on the way here?
On the way here, yeah.
Thank God me and Anthony took the train from Brooklyn.
Well, you stuck with me on the way back, so.
So what happened? You.
No, I don't know. I mean, I could do the finger test, but I don't want
to. Please don't. You're touching the microphone. You get somebody get antibacterial. So
they might get AIDS.
So you worry that.
What is wrong with you?
You still don't know that. You still don't know.
Well, because, you know, with the humidity, you don't ever know. Well, I'll test it out.
So you're saying you had swamp ass already to start?
Of course. I'm working construction in humidity. What are you thinking?
Yeah, in your car. And then what happened? So you don't know if it's just sweat. Or if it's...
Well, there's no smell.
This is disgusting.
So I think we're in good shape.
Let's move on.
But the fart was pretty bad.
You farted on this last time in the fan. That was terrible.
No, this was in my car, so you guys are all right.
Yeah, I'm sure you... Why didn't you bottle it? You should have bottled it.
I would love to bottle it. We can sell it.
Get out of here.
Peter Cards for men.
Let's talk Champions League, folks. Champions League.
Oh, man. I'm trying to procrastinate the conversation.
I was on the verge, I swear, of looking for some spike boots to wear to work today.
But you're not man enough to take a bet.
Because Juventus.
That's why you see, that's why you brag. Remember last week he was bragging. Oh, I can't even remember all the times I beat you because you're not man enough to actually commit to the bet.
I said it was about the advancing and you wanted the outright win. Juventus could have lost outright last week and in some scores. Stop. Juventus could have outright lost last week and they still would have advanced depending on the scoreboard. So I wasn't going to give you the outright win for Real Madrid. I was going to give you who advanced. All right? That's what counted. In the end, you didn't even get the win. Real Madrid drew with Juventus. At home, in Madrid, they couldn't even get the win.
Yeah. Thank you for rubbing that in.
I should have took that bet. I would have wore remember Doc Martens with the steel tip boot? The steel tip. I would have wore the steel tip boot.
No, my father's.
I would have. What happened with your father?
My father used to wear Pierre Cardin's.
Oh, anybody know who Pierre Cardin's back home?
Old Italian
Explain
guys.
To the people that didn't know who the Pierre Cardin's
were. The Italian guys used to
back
wear
in the
Pierre
day.
Cardin's.
In the 80s.
They would come up past the ankle. Like right up to
Pierre
the shin.
Pierre Cardin's had like a pointy,
and they had
pointy
the point.
Front. We used to call them cockroach killers in Brooklyn because you could fit the point in the corners of the walls
heel,
where the roaches would hide, and you could still stomp
you
them.
You couldn't miss
so
a roach.
So we used to call the Pierre Cardin's cockroach killers.
The
so
heel
the old,
was like
the old 80s Guidos used to wear Pierre Cardin's.
With their suits, and it was like probably like a 2-inch heel, you know? And that was like stylish then. My father used to keep like his gun in there, you know?
At no all. Joke. No, my Pete's father was a little bit crazy.
I remember being like 4 years old, and my brother used to always take me around with him, and his friends were like 7 years older than me. So to be cool, I was like cursing. You know, obviously 4 years old, you're not supposed to be cursing, but all my brother's friends were laughing, so I thought I was the cool kid, right? My father hears me, and I'm F this and F that and F this, and the girl's like, he's so cute, you know? Meanwhile, they're 11, they're probably not even cursing, and I'm cursing because all the movies I used to watch. My father hears me and comes running up behind me and, like, literally field goals me.
He had his Pierre Cardin's
he
on.
He had the Pierre Cardin's on.
4 years old?
I was about four or five. Jesus. He punts me right in my ass crack.
Oh.
I think the toe part went up my asshole. I was bouncing on the floor crying. That's how hard he soccer kicked me.
This is obviously, as you can tell from the way he's telling your story, this still bothers him 30 years later.
Oh, my God.
It bothers me.
Think about a goalie when he has the ball in his hands and he just punts it all the way across the field.
He kicked his heart, tried to punt
that's,
you.
That's exactly what he did to me. You're cursing? Oh, you're cursing? And I'm like,
he might have wanted to think of where you heard those words, you know? Maybe, where'd you get those words from?
From him and all the movies we watched.
Exactly.
Die Hard. Who watches Die Hard when they're four?
You do.
Die Hard didn't come out when you were four. There wasn't Die Hard yet.
Well, you know, all those movies.
It could have been Die Hard 3. At
Above
that
the Law.
Above the Law, yeah.
Oh, Nico Toscani.
Yeah.
That's great, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, anyway. You wanted to wear the Pierre Cardin's to boot me in.
No, honestly, I would have brought those out of retirement. I would have brought the Pierre Cardin's out of retirement for today if we would
have
took
them. You still
have
a pair?
No, I don't. I never wore them. I mean, they were out of style by the time I got older.
I have a pair of Aldos that are similar.
Yeah.
You know, they're not as.
They still make the cockroach killers?
No.
They don't, right?
I'm sure. If you have a.
They got Stacey Adams now.
Stacey Adams, yeah, Stacey Adams. Yeah. But anyway, I was going to wear those because Juventus got the win over Real Madrid. Peter Cards. If he theoretically was putting in wages,
that was my lock.
It was the lock of the week. We were arguing about the fact that it wasn't going to be the lock of the week, as Champions League, anything can happen. And as I tried to warn him, and as some of you Twitter followers at home have made sure to rub it into him, and reminded me of, Juventus advanced. Juventus in the final. Now, what do you do in the final? What are you going to try to make up for it and go big boss on Barcelona?
Absolutely.
That's the thing. The final is a one-game final, and I'm not telling you Barcelona's not going to win, because Barcelona should win. But, again, it's a one-game final. In a one-game final, anything can happen. Anything. You understand that?
I hear you.
I've been watching soccer, or as my UK friends call it, football, for a long time, kid. I remember.
Football.
In 94, bro, Barcelona was in the finals against AC Milan, and Barcelona had the team of dreams. They had the Dutch connection. They had Cruyff was the coach. They had some monster players. Milan beat them 4-0, bro. Milan beat them 4-0. 4-0.
You mean 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0, exactly. Okay? So, a one-game final is nothing to be toyed with. I remember even the late 90s when Juventus had the killer teams and they couldn't win a final. Juventus had the killer team, lost to Borussia Dortmund in 97 in the final. I thought that game was going to be 4-0, Juventus, and said they lost in the final. And then they lost to Real Madrid in 98 when they had a much better team than Real Madrid that year. Much better team. Juventus had no business losing to anybody during that time. They lost two finals.
One of our Twitter fans.
A one-game final, anybody can win it. Champions League is a crazy tournament.
One of our Twitter fans brought up 2005. We watched that game together.
Yeah, Liverpool. Well, you know what? I don't bring up 2005. You know why? Because that was not a penalty kick. The 3-3, was that the 3-3 goal? That was not a penalty. That wasn't a penalty kick. That wasn't a penalty.
Was
Gattuso didn't grab anything. Gattuso didn't grab anything. He tried to grab Gerard's shirt and he missed. He threw himself on the floor. He got the call. That was not a foul by Gattuso. So we're not going to count the crazy Liverpool comeback. It was a crazy comeback. I'm not going to lie. That was a sick comeback. And you know what? I'm an AC Milan fan. We got you guys back 2 years later. Can you say doppietta by Inzaghi? Can you say two goals by Inzaghi in the 07 final?
Right.
Not one. Inzaghi got you twice. Speaking of which, Paul Inzaghi made a much better player than Coach.
And that's your favorite player.
Yeah, he made a much better player than Coach, man.
You
this
got
year
to meet him,
disaster.
Too.
I got to meet Inzaghi in 2007, actually.
Wait, who's he coaching?
Later that year, he's coaching Milan. They haven't had a good year. Milan yesterday closed out the season by losing for the second time this year to who? To Sassuolo. Sassuolo beat Milan twice this year.
Do they still have that crazy guy as a coach? No.
No, no. No, no. Inzaghi's a Milan coach.
No,
Sassuolo.
Remember the fact?
No.
The fat guy with the hat?
Zaza plays at Sassuolo. Oh, man, bro. I got sick. I got nauseous. You lose twice to a team like Sassuolo. People don't even know. People that watch soccer don't know who Sassuolo is.
Okay. I didn't know who they are until you told me who they are.
Yeah.
I still don't know who they are.
No. Yeah.
And you shouldn't.
Milan,
actually.
Milan lost 3-2 yesterday to Sassuolo. Earlier in the season, I think they lost 2-1 to Sassuolo or something. It's a disaster of a year for Milan. But Serie A gets respect. Juventus is in the final. It's a big, big accomplishment for Serie A. We haven't had a team in the final since Inter, right? Inter against Bayern Munich. When was that?
It's been a while. But think about just... I mean, just Juventus in general hasn't played.
We hadn't
had
a team in the semis since Inter again, too.
You know,
even if Inter won that Champions League, I don't think we even had a team as far as the semis for a while.
But Juve, just think about Juve as a whole, as far as Serie A, Champions League, whatever you want to talk about. Since the whole controversy, they went down to Serie B, then had to come back. They haven't been up there in a while.
The Serie A in general hasn't been up there in general.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
The superstars left.
Right. Know? But the fact that they have won the Serie A now, they clinched already.
Yeah, they're in the final of Coppa Italia. They're trying to go for the final.
Yeah, exactly.
That says a lot
for a team that overcame a lot. You know what I mean? They've been through a lot.
And for
was it their own fault? Yeah, it was their own fault.
For the league in general, I mean, it's been a tough past second half of the decade.
And you know what? You talk a lot of shit about Buffon. He always stood with them.
No, I give Buffon a lot of credit. I don't talk a lot of shit. I just think Sirigu should be the starter for the Italian national team. I don't think Buffon should be the starter anymore, but it doesn't make him
Wouldn't you say, though, he's probably the best goalie of all time?
Buffon? He's close. I mean, he's in the conversation.
Right?
He's in the conversation for sure. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm sure all my soccer and football fans out there, I'm sure that you guys can...
Tweet us. Who do you think is the best goalkeeper of all time?
And I think if you don't think it's Buffon, he could at least be in the conversation. I mean,
yeah, he's definitely in the conversation.
There's a lot of goalkeepers we probably didn't see either.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, consider the fact, you know, consider our age when we say that, you know.
But we've seen some crazy goalies.
Peter Cech is a phenomenal goalie.
Yeah, yeah. I remember 1990, Sergio Goycochea, who didn't have a long career, but Sergio Goycochea in 1990 had the tournament of his life for Argentina.
Right.
And he started the tournament as a backup. The best thing that could have happened to Argentina in 1990 was Pompidou breaking his leg in the first game and Goycochea coming in and taking over.
Goycochea
actually carried Argentina all the way to the finals.
I remember the whole tournament
in
1990.
So, yeah, sometimes goalies get hot for a little bit, but they're not as consistent. Buffon is somebody who's been consistently good for a long period of time. Exactly, the longevity.
And he won everything, right?
Yeah. You know who also is a good goalie for Italy? Dino Zoff.
Yeah.
Dino Zoff actually won a lot of tournaments. He won the 68 European Cup and he won the 82 World Cup. He had a long time. Long time. And in between, he lost his job in between that and he got it back. Mm-hmm. He won the World Cup. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, everybody get out there. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have even more of a football history and soccer history than us. I mean, we're, you know, mine only goes back to the late 80s. See, you know, let me know. What do you guys think about the best goalkeepers?
And I wouldn't say that I'm a diehard football fan. So, you know, you guys are not a lot more knowledgeable than I am, so I'm curious for your opinions as well.
Yeah. But anyway, so for the finals, now that you said you're not that intelligent of a football soccer fan,
I'm still going with Barca. I'm going with the best player in the world, Messi.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about this final? This final is intriguing because it's not only Juventus versus Barcelona, Goliath, David versus Goliath. It's also a rematch of the bite.
The bite.
Sergio Chiellini and Luis Suarez.
That piece of shit.
The Uruguay versus Italy World Cup match last summer. Had the bite where Luis Suarez bit Sergio Chiellini. The referee refused to call it, refused to go to his linesman. That referee should get punted in his asshole with a pair of Pierre Cardens if anybody deserves it.
I wish my father was still alive today to punt that guy.
Because that guy didn't want to hear it. And he didn't want to even confide in the linesman who probably saw the bite. Anyway. They're back because Suarez pays his regular season
Barcelona. Since it was against Italy, my father probably would have shot him.
Yeah.
Forget about punting him in his ass. My father would have shot him.
But Luis Suarez, who happens to play for Barcelona, Sergio Chiellini happens to play for Juventus. They got a rematch going on, buddy. And another very important game. This one might be even more important than that one. I mean, I know that one was a World Cup match, but it was just the group stage.
It was a group stage, yeah. This is a big deal.
I mean, it cost Italy advancing because if Italy would have had the draw,
but
we would have advanced.
This is a big deal. This takes the cake.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
As far as clubs go, and, you know, the clubs is where these guys make their money. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, for the people that listen to the podcast, you know, all 10 of you out there, some of you listen to us for the boxing part of it. Just so you know, the soccer when they play within the 4 years or within the 2 years when there's no Euro Cup or no World Cup, they play. They don't play for their country necessarily. They play all around the world, and that's where they get huge paydays. Cristiano Ronaldo is of Portuguese descent, but he plays for Madrid in Spain.
Portuguese born, actually.
Yeah. Portuguese born, and you know, all these Italian players, Spanish players, they go all over Europe, all over the world, and they get paid big money. It's only that they go back to their country for, you know, these big tournaments like the World Cup and the Euro Cup. So these guys actually make their bread and butter and take care of their families
with their club teams.
With their club teams. So this Champions League is the Super Bowl
of the clubs,
of clubs. So
club tournaments.
You know, June 6th is a Saturday afternoon. What is it?
For us, it's Saturday afternoon. In Europe, it's nighttime.
Right. Yeah. Oh, is it 2:45 on our time?
Yeah. Yeah. Barcelona, Juventus, we know who Peter Cards thinks is going to win, so we know theoretically if he was a betting man who he would go for. I say stick with our hearts. Cinderella team, Juventus. I mean, it's a long shot. I'm not going to be honest.
Cinderella was a movie, buddy.
I know. And it's a long shot. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, a strike trio of Suarez, Messi, and Neymar is a scary, scary proposition when your defense is made up of guys like Barzagli and Chiellini. And as much as I love the Italian national team, our defense has been sorely, sorely lacking. And our defense is basically the Juventus defense.
That's
at this
what I'm
point.
Saying.
The Juventus defense is basically the Italian national team defense. And, you know, it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. But again, we got key players. You know, guys like Morata. Morata was basically tossed out by Real Madrid. How good do you think it made him feel that he scored that goal and eliminated them? How good do you feel would you feel if you're Morata? Real Madrid basically tossed you out, and you just sent them packing in this Champions League semifinal. In Madrid. You scored a goal in Madrid and sent them packing.
You see how psyched Buffon was?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, hypothetically, I lost money, but you see Buffon like rooting to the crowd like,
yeah,
come on.
Because you know where he's going? The
he's
final.
He's going back.
The final is in Berlin. Mm-hmm. You know, because the final, just like the Super Bowl, the home of the final gets decided at the beginning of the season. So the hosts were going to be in Berlin. Berlin was going to host the final. Berlin, that stadium is where Buffon won the 2006 World Cup with Italy. So he's going back to
Pirlo.
He's going back.
And
to the
Pirlo.
Place where he achieved all that glory, yeah.
Andrea Pirlo.
And Pirlo. And the rest of
one
the Juventus
team. One of the
team.
Best Italian players of all time.
So, you gotta root all those people at home. We're rooting for Juventus. I'm an AC Milan fan first, but Juventus gets my love. Serie A gets my love. And anybody who's sending me hateful tweets, because I got a couple of hateful tweets about Serie A's past it and garbage league and all this. Where's your team? Huh? Where's your team's league? Because if you root for any league besides La Primera Liga and Serie A, you have no team in the finals. So shut your trap.
Absolutely.
Juventus versus Barcelona, June 6th in Berlin.
And if I lose hypothetical money, you know, my Monopoly money.
I'm going for Juventus. No, you know what? The Cinderella story continues.
No,
there's no midnight. There's no midnight. No, I'm not commentating. No.
Who's that?
There's no midnight hour for this Cinderella
who's
team.
Who's the commentators for that?
I don't know.
You think you could?
In America, they've been changing them recently.
You think you could do it?
Who's the guy from the game?
I could, but I know, I'm not going to say I'm as good as I am at boxing.
No,
I mean,
but you might need a few times.
Definitely, Alexei Lalas. I'm not crazy about Alexei Lalas. Oh, no. For football commentating or soccer commentating. I'm not crazy
Who's the
about
guy
it.
From the FIFA game?
Seamus Mallon?
No.
Ian, John Motson?
Motson and Ian something. We're here in lovely stadium.
It's gone in! He's done it! Oh, man. What about the Europa League, bro? Italy had two freaking teams in the semis and none of them made it. Fiorentina gets eliminated by Sevilla, who's the defending champion, so no harm there. By the way, Giuseppe, maybe if they would have had Giuseppe Rossi come back this season, he would have.
Giuseppe Rossi, our boy.
He's still hurt. And would Giuseppe be playing in the showdown? Would Giuseppe make a comeback in the showdown? Giuseppe will come back for the showdown?
Me too.
Might have, though.
No, you can't play in that.
There's a charity game every summer called the Showdown in Chinatown. Steve Nash.
No, I'm going to break
down. Hold on.
This
let me break it down for you. Steve Nash does the Showdown in Chinatown. It's basically a charity foundation celebrity soccer game where he invites NBA players and soccer players to play in this miniature soccer field in Chinatown in New York City. It's got the who's who of soccer and the NBA world. I've met some pretty cool guys at this tournament. tournament. We're going to set up the story. Do we need to go to break?
Can we take a break? Because I really want to talk about this, and I really want to go in.
If you want to drink five beers and then during the show.
No, it's fine. If you want to keep going? No.
No, you're not going to pee in the bottle in the studio.
All right, guys, I've set up the story. Celebrity soccer match with NBA and soccer players. It has happened every year in June. The showdown in Chinatown. You can even Google it. Every year in June in New York City, Steve Nash runs it. NBA player Steve Nash, who's actually a really good soccer player, he runs it and he plays in it, and it's a miniature soccer game, and people just show up and watch it. It's really cool.
Have the floor?
Go ahead. Last June's game. Pete, you have the floor. Go ahead. Take it away.
Oh, jeez.
This is a bad one. So now, they have a respect for Paulie because, you know, he's a two-time world champion, and his manager Anthony knows the people who put it together, and Anthony also happened to be a semi-pro soccer player, a very good one at that. So Anthony, you think Paulie would come and you know, make an appearance at the game? And oh yeah, sure. You think he would play in the game?
No, I didn't find out I was playing. Right, so I got there.
Why don't you shut your face? Because it's not the first time you went there, but then now you found out you're gonna play. Okay, shut up. So he goes and he plays, okay? Now, you're talking about, there's some guys that don't belong touching a ball or being near a ball. Like, say, Chris Bosh, right? Mm. Chris Bosh happened to be there.
Yeah, and some NBA players, they're not that good at soccer, but obviously they're phenomenal NBA players.
Right. Chris Bosh looked like he didn't know anything about it. The ball would hit his shin when he meant to kick it. It just was very
awkward.
Very awkward to watch.
I think it hurt somebody.
Right. Yeah, sure. And then you have Steve Nash, who's there every year, and he can play. His brother actually plays in Canada. So mixed with that, you know, you have professional players. Our friend Giuseppe Rossi, who is born in Jersey.
Plays the Italian national team.
His family
has had a really good career. Everybody at home knows Giuseppe Rossi. Big shout out to Giuseppe Rossi. If you watch soccer, you watch football, you know Giuseppe Rossi. He just had an injury-ridden career, or more of you would know him. But any soccer fans know Giuseppe Rossi. Right now, he's on the contract with Fiorentina. Well, go ahead.
To make a long story short, this is a charity game, but people still want to win the game. You're there to, you know,
you're athletes, you're competitors.
You're playing, and the biggest competitor is sitting to my left, obviously.
Me.
I got that.
You're
the only guy sitting to his left.
Everybody's at home doesn't see where I'm sitting.
Oh, okay.
They'll get it. I don't think they think Seth is playing in this game.
Go ahead.
So
my uncle's their accountant.
Yeah. So needless to say, now it comes down to a penalty kick.
Wow, this is serious.
Now, right. This is very serious.
Yeah, doing
penalty
kicks.
I think it was a tie game, right? Now, I think it was like a tie game or whatever, 2-2, 3-3, whatever it is. Giuseppe Rossi, who has played in the World Cup for Italy.
No, he was going to play in the World Cup, but he got hurt. That's why he was playing in the showdown. Otherwise, he would have been at the World Cup.
He played
just come off a bad injury.
Last Euro Cup.
Yeah.
He played in the last Euro Cup.
He's the real deal.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
He played in the Confederations Cup
Italy.
Year before the World Cup.
The only team, the only country that has more World Cups than Italy is Brazil. And if you switch 1994 and Italy wins, we have more than Brazil. So that shows you,
we lost two finals.
Right. So that shows you how
close,
big and how important soccer is in Italy. For you to play for Italy, you have to be amazing, except for the defense now. But so, needless to say, Giuseppe Rossi, because it's like saying you're on a team with Kobe Bryant and you're playing celebrity basketball, he's going to take the free throw, or in this case, the penalty kick. Giuseppe Rossi grabs the ball, and he goes to put it on the dot, you know, the dot in the 18-yard box. And Paulie goes, "Hey, Giuseppe, let me take this."
No, you didn't.
He did.
You know what? It's a big moment.
Shut your mouth.
I'm very good at penalties, usually.
So he goes, no, Giuseppe, let me take this. I'm good at these.
I'm good at these.
So Giuseppe looks at him and goes, "All right." And he steps back. Because, again, it is a charity game.
Right.
And he didn't want to show him up and say, "Buddy, I'm Giuseppe Rossi. Like, why would you do that?"
Yeah.
So, you know, and also, you know, if it went down.
Now, we're playing with mini nets here, folks.
Oh, shut up.
And I didn't know I was playing going into that day, so I didn't bring my soccer turfs.
Here we go.
My turf shoes on.
Soccer turfs, right.
My turf sneakers, okay? I didn't bring them.
He still has to take
I had a pair of high top Giorgio Armani sneakers. that I didn't care that it ruined because when I got there, they told me I was playing. I played anyway. Go ahead.
The first day he told me he had Timberlands on. Okay.
No, yeah. I came
the
home.
The story keeps changing. As we go, the story keeps changing.
Yeah, Timberlands in June. I know, Joe. Yeah. I had Timberlands on in June.
Some people just can't lose. So he takes the penalty kick. Wide right.
Like in Norwood, right? In the it's
completely.
No, wide to my left. The goalie's right.
Yeah. Wide, right?
Shanked it.
Now, everybody's low, like, I shot it what low. I tried the to hell is this? Like, this is a tie game. The game's on the line. They're all looking at him like, why would you take this shot? His manager, Anthony, so embarrassed, just completely exits stage left and leaves the field. One guy goes, oh, isn't that your fighter? He just ignores the guy and goes, I don't even know who that is. And he leaves.
Left me there. Left me in Chinatown.
Left him completely in Chinatown. It was like, I'm out of here. I want nothing to do with it. I'm not affiliated with this guy right now. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But to me, that's the equivalent of saying, hey, Kobe, there's a technical. Let me take the free throw, bro. Actually, it's the fourth quarter.
Free throw's a little easier to make, you know?
Is it?
This is worse, I think. Yeah. I think this is worse.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I think it's worse.
No, either way, it's a pressure situation. Yeah. You don't take so the don't ball out of the
so
the
basically top what you're guy. Saying is you don't think they're going to let me play this year.
You shouldn't play. Actually, we spoke. We had lunch with the with
Benazza,
the guy
who were the chairman of the tournament. Benazza,
and he said he was like
it was a big discussion about.
I love him, but I don't know.
He's an Italian guy.
Yeah, I don't know if they want him on the pitch.
Let's ask Paulie though. If you play, would you offer to take that shot?
Would
again?
You ever?
I think I would have to try to redeem myself this year. If I played, I got to at least redeem myself and do something spectacular like a scissor kick or a bicycle kick type.
Are
of
you
goal,
gonna
you know?
Bring your?
I'm gonna bring my turfs this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring all my shoes and my glasses.
Just so you have them.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, you guys haven't talked about the Rangers at all. Because that was pretty pathetic yesterday.
Well, yesterday, please.
Yesterday was, you know what I think happened to the Rangers last night?
A lot of mistakes
yesterday. I think the Rangers forgot they had a game last night. I think they woke up yesterday and they thought the game was today. They had to get on the team bus to go. Oh, we're going to the Garden. You know, tonight's the game. They were like, "Oh shit!"
They were a little drunk.
We're playing tonight.
Yeah, they were.
I think they confused the game days because the way they played last night.
Listen, a lot of them
definitely forgot.
A lot of them are young.
There's some old Rangers on that Tampa Bay team, just like you said. The soccer player was getting back at Madrid.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it's the same thing with Tampa, right?
Yeah, we got an old Tampa player who still thinks he's playing for Tampa. Apparently, Martin St. Louis still plays like he thinks he's playing for Tampa.
You see the stuff on like the memes on Instagram and
what happened?
The milk cartons, St. Louis missing and Nash is missing. Last scene is like the regular season.
That's horrible, man.
They say Nash has been playing well; he just hasn't been scoring.
Right, yeah. He's involved. He's just I would like to see him more involved. He gets physical when he has to. He just has to score.
Talk about betting. The Rangers, every game seems like it's, before this game, it's a one-goal game. It's like the Rangers giving 1.5 goals.
Well, Longfist is a bad game. And look what
I wouldn't take them
not even
giving goals.
That's what I'm saying. You take the other team. They only win by one when they win.
You got to risk the money if you're going to bet the Rangers anyway.
Right.
You know. Longfist always keeps you in the game, except for yesterday.
If you theoretically, with yesterday an over game, if you were a betting man?
Hypothetically, sure.
Well, most of their games have been like one goal games and unders, right?
But but if you look at the style, this is the thing. You got to look at the style of the games. Tampa Bay and the Rangers.
What are you, an NHL breakdowner now? You're breaking down every sport so far today. Like you became an expert on everything today.
Pete, break it down.
No, you notice that today you became like some sort of an expert on everything? Everything we talk about, you have some sort of complex... intellectual breakdown, like to try to make yourself sound smart. I don't understand what it is.
I played hockey.
Go ahead.
You played, like in the street where like sewer to sewer is the goal, and you played with a ball. That's not hockey.
Okay, go ahead.
I played with refs and penalties and stuff.
Scotch 88.
Scotch 88, baby. Mm. That's real hockey.
Go ahead.
So, if you watch the two styles of the teams, Tampa Bay is... run and gun, high flying, like as if you're watching a West Coast basketball team.
Golden State.
Exactly. They are the Golden State or the Houston Rockets of hockey.
And the Rangers are like Memphis.
Not all the time, because offensively we are the same.
God bless you.
Thanks. Offensively we are
salute,
the same.
You guys say, right?
Salute.
Salute, yeah. Okay.
Offensively, we are the same. We have the Kreiders. We have those people that can be Haglunds. Just as... Yeah, we can be just as fast. Their big thing is in the neutral zone, they explode. Tampa Bay. We stopped that game one. What I'm getting at is I can see a lot of goals in either game, even though the both goalies are phenomenal. I can see a lot of goals because it's just fast pace. You know what I mean? So to say that it's going to be under every game, I wouldn't say that.
So what's your guys' prediction for the series? Who's going to be in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Rangers.
Honestly, I think
Rangers
should sweep this team because their team's too wide open.
It's too late for that already.
It's too late for that. I think
Rangers
in six. Ridiculous.
Rangers in six. They're not going to make stupid mistakes like that. St. Louis tripped over the blue line and you know, just gave up a one-on-one with Lundqvist. You know, 5-3, 6-3, whatever it was.
6-2.
6-2 was retarded. That's insanity. But, you know, and then again, who was the other one that just gave it up? Who else gave it up like that? St. Louis gave it up at the in the offensive zone where they had a breakaway, and then in the third period they had that too, or the second period, late second period. We were watching the game.
Yeah, no, I don't remember now. Dude, yesterday we gave up so many goals, I lost count of which ones were which.
No, but it was similar to, on the power
when
play.
When he kicked it in?
No. He gave it up at the blue line. It was it wasn't Boyle because I want to always blame Boyle, but I don't think it was Boyle. I love throwing everything on Boyle.
Hayes?
I think it was.
It was Kevin Hayes.
I think it was Hayes. Yeah. Just stupid things that you know don't always happen. The Rangers don't always do that. So you're not going to expect that to happen every time. But, like I said, two high-powered offenses, fast run and gun, I could see them going over in these games.
Seems like the Rangers have been playing best when their backs are against the wall, though, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they can just make anything look easy.
They're going to take one in Tampa Bay.
They have to.
Right?
You hope.
And then...
Although, if they go down 3-1, it's probably have them right where they want them. Rangers, if they're down 3-1, that's when they play their best hockey.
Oh, no, you don't want to be in that situation again.
So, you guys got anything else? We're going to wrap this up. Are there any fights coming up next weekend? We had a couple good weeks.
Yeah, well, this weekend I'm working the Andre Durrell versus James DeGale fight for, it's a PBC on NBC, but I won't be working with NBC. I'll be working with BBC Radio for the actual fight. For the fight week, I'll be working for Sky Sports. I'm heading to Boston tonight.
I bet you can get that on TuneIn. Are you guys familiar with the TuneIn app?
No.
It's the best radio app you can get on your phone. You can get stations from all over. Like, I like tennis. I like, I type in French Open when I was on my way to work, and I got French Open right on my,
Really?
Yeah. So I bet you can probably find that BBC on there, maybe.
Can you watch it?
It's worldwide. No, it's just radio.
BBC Radio is actually pretty cool because...
CBS, we have a lot of stations on there, too. Yeah, they carry everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I want to check that out. Maybe I'll hear it. Listen to Paulie.
Good stuff.
Can we
just watch on NBC?
Yeah, no, I'll do that too. But if I'm traveling, can we hear some of you using an English accent for it or no?
No, I just use my regular New York accent.
Oh, okay.
They still love me.
I think they like that. It's something different.
I'm just kidding. You know?
Yeah. He can't pull it off like I can, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead, say it.
Come on, mate.
And a left, and a right, and a left.
He can't give it a go as well as I do.
That's your British accent. It's horrible, dude. That accent's horrible.
You guys got to make a bet at some point. There's got to be a bet.
All my UK fans, will you rate this kid's British accent? I mean, does it even sound believable?
I did Kel Brook earlier.
Dude, where'd you do Kel Brook?
In, like, the second episode or whatever it was.
He did.
What'd you say?
I'm Kel Brook.
No, remember when he had the... He went on holiday, and he was stabbed, and then captured the world title and defended it in amazing fashion. You can't do that.
You sound like Ricky Gervais.
Well, you don't
office.
Even sound like it. All the UK fans, tweet at Peter Collins. Let him know how his
you
British accent is.
You do it.
Ow, ow.
What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Cheerio?
Cheerio, mate. Cheerio.
Isn't that like Australia?
We just don't have any premiership teams in the Champions League finals.
Oh, what see, you're throwing digs.
No, I'm not throwing digs.
They're not
going
to like that.
I'm just trying to start a conversation that a Brit would have.
No, they're not going to like that.
They're not going
to
like that.
No,
they know they don't have any teams in the finals. They watch the Champions League.
Yeah, but they're going to say you're going against them, bro.
Oh, they're
going
to say, all right, well, let's talk about something else. What are we talking about?
That's not the way to go about it, kid.
Do you think Amir Khan should fight Kell Brook?
Absolutely. Indeed.
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 Who do you reckon would win?
I reckon
if Amir Khan and Kell Brook fought each other.
I reckon Amir Khan will get wrecked.
Think so? Nah, I think it's
and a lot of Khan's fans.
I think it's a very
very
competitive
gutted.
Fight. I think it's a very close fight. I think it'll be a good tear up, and I think it's a good fight. Tarot, right? Is that a word? Tarot? I think they use tarot, right?
Yeah.
Stick the they use tarot. Tarot is a British word. Guys.
Leave the...
my UK fans, let me know if tarot is a British word. Or
leave the imitations to make it.
All right, guys. We're off till next week. PBC on NBC this weekend. If you're in the UK, check me out on Sky Sports all week. Check me out on BBC Radio for Fight Night. Or Fight... whatever the day. No, it's nighttime in the UK. James DeGale versus Andre Durrell, which is a really, really good fight. For anybody who doesn't watch boxing all the time, James DeGale versus Andre Durrell, you want to tune into this one. These are really two high, high skilled fighters in the ring against each other. I love the fight.
Somebody was posting on Facebook. What do you think about it? Because I think a lot of people don't know DeGale. What do you, you know, tell everybody this is going to be.
I think DeGale is a very, very
live. This
is
like a coming out party.
Yeah, I think, Andre Durrell is an awesome fighter, too.
But
I
this
think
is Durrell a coming is out awesome party. Fighter. And a lot
I
of
mean,
people.
DeGale and Durrell are both awesome fighters. I question how badly Durrell wants it. At times, I question his character a little bit, as talented as he is. DeGale has a lot of talent, but I think he's also might want it a little more. I might lean towards the upset slightly, just slightly. But you really can't go wrong with your prediction either way, because Durrell and DeGale are really so evenly matched.
It's a good matchup.
Really, it's such a good fight between two really good fighters. You know, usually you get guys that are this good fighting each other when they're already super established. You rarely see a fight this good when the guys aren't established yet, because it's such a risk for both guys. I really, really like both guys. I literally, as a fan, I can't wait to watch this.
Right,
like, that's
what I'm
saying.
They're
super, super skilled fighters. And nobody's overhyped or anything. Like, literally, these are two really skilled fighters.
Like, here in the States, everybody knows Durrell. Nobody knows DeGale.
Nobody knows DeGale.
So, this is like a coming out party for him, where everybody's going to be like,
of course,
wow,
but
this
not
guy.
Even everybody knows Durrell yet, because even Durrell hasn't done the things he should have with his career. But he's remained
a
super talented guy.
He's fought Frachi. He's fought up there.
DeGale's an Olympic gold medalist in 08. Right. You know, he's I saw him last year on the Wembley card when he beat Brandon Gonzalez. He just has this annoying style. He's really fast, and I would hate to have to deal with a guy like that. He's really a handful to deal with, and he wants it. You can see the hunger in his style as well. I think it's a good fight. Everybody tune in. PBC on NBC this weekend, Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Is there another fight on the card?
There's Edwin Rodriguez against some guy I never heard of. Yeah, he's fighting.
La Bomba's always
fighting.
Always exciting.
Yeah, he's exciting because he punches hard and stuff. But I don't know who he's fighting. I forgot the guy's name. He's fighting. And the big fight is DeGale Durrell. Just tune in. Don't miss those fights. DeGale versus Durrell. PBC on NBC in the UK. You'll hear me on Sky all week, starting tomorrow. Actually, I'm heading out to Boston tonight. I'm gonna do some work with Sky tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'll be working with Sky all week, and then for the fight, I committed to BBC Radio, so I'll be doing it on BBC Radio. Check us out next week on the podcast.
Boom.
It would have usually been my fight week. Instead, I'm out with stitches. Hopefully, by next week, I'll have the stitches removed for good. And then
you'll be back though, right? You'll be back.
Yeah, sometime in the fall, we'll see.
I'll be back.
I'll figure it out. All right, till next week.
See you later.